welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started with the passage of Scripture here. Actually, this is from the Gospels. It's a story we read about in Luke. And it goes like this. You know, Jesus and his disciples, you know, went to stay at the home of Martha and Mary. And so this is where the story picks up. Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, if you know the story, we got Mary and Martha, and two sisters. Jesus is over, and the first thing Mary does is just plop at the feet of Jesus and just focused on Jesus, kind of recognizing the moment and just excited to hear what he has to say. You know, she is engaged. She's all in. And then, of course, Martha, trying to prepare the dinner, is just saying, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you let, you know, Mary come up and help me here and get some stuff done." But it's interesting what Jesus says, how he responds. He says, "My dear Martha, you're worried, upset, all the details. One thing is worth being concerned about. Mary's discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." There's different translations, and other translations say she's chosen the one thing, you know, and it will not be taken away. I love this picture because this picture really represents, I think, an inflection point that we can all have in our heart when it comes to Jesus, spiritual things. And we've used this passage of Scripture in different messages, different contexts, to talk about centering up on Jesus and getting Jesus focused again and different things like that. But when I look at this passage of Scripture, I like it also because it reminds me of this time of year. Just as you're turning the corner, we're November 30th. You know, tomorrow you're going to wake up and it's going to be December already. And then you're going to start to begin to feel that, okay, and it's December. All right. Presents and plans and people and events and all the busyness of the season, you know. And when I look at the two sisters here, I kind of see I've been both of these people. I've had a Martha Christmas, and I've had a Mary Christmas. You know, the Mary Christmas is when it's about Jesus, and you're excited for the season. It's reminding you about him. You're intentionally putting on those songs, the music that stirs up that appreciation. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. You're intentional, maybe about watching some movies that bring out different things that stir up and put that focus on Jesus again. You know, just special times of fellowship and things that we do to remember and appreciate, you know, what this time of year is all about. We know it in our head. But, I mean, Mary and Martha both knew Jesus and who he was in terms of that significance, but Mary made a decision. I'm going to stop and I'm going to let him be the center of this moment. And, of course, I've had the Martha Christmases too, you know, where I'm just, all of a sudden, the focus isn't on Jesus. The focus is on all the things that I got to do, you know, the gifts that I got to buy, you know, different things that I have to prepare and get ready for, and just all the details. And pretty soon, you can kind of get lost in the busyness and the planning, and that's where it can just be a blur. And I've had Christmas just come and go, and it's like, oh, it went so fast, and I meant to watch this, and I meant to listen to this, and I meant to, and, you know, it's like I kind of let it get away. You know, you have that Martha Christmas. And so what I like to do, when I, you know, if we're going to have a Merry Christmas this year, this is what we want to go back to. This is the scripture I like to focus on in terms of centering up and being intentional about that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now think about this as it relates to Christmas. Think about this as we're getting ready to see the baby in the manger and the plays and the different things like that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and rescue it. And so as I'm endeavoring to make that decision this year, as I'm feeling the pressure in the days and the time encroaching, to just be able to make that decision, you know what? No, I am going to be a Mary this year. I'm going to center up on Jesus. I'm going to remember why this day is so special. The big picture, the broader context. You know, am I buying gifts? Am I going places? Yeah, I'm doing those things, and they're all good. But I'm doing it from a broader context. I'm celebrating something. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so many times, this isn't just changing what you're doing. This is just an attitude. You're still going about the stuff, but your heart is approaching these things from this perspective. This is all about Jesus. This is all about the gift of his Son, the gift of his love. Just having those fresh eyes, those Mary, Jesus-centric eyes. And so this morning, I just want to talk about minister along the lines of, as we're entering into December here, preparing for Christmas, all right? Preparing for Christmas. We don't want to be this guy. This guy is having a Martha Christmas right now. And I know that, and I've seen that, experienced that, but that's where I just really want us to be able, again this morning, to have that time before we head into this new month to say, okay, Lord, no, I know the meaning. I know the reason for the season. We've had all the different sermons along those lines. But yet there's still a decision. No matter how many times I've heard sermons, no matter how much I know, there still comes a point where I got to make a decision every year as I'm entering into it. What is this Christmas going to be like? What is 2025 going to be like this year? And to make some decisions. And these, again, are heart decisions. These are ways that we're going to see things. Again, we're still going to have people to see, places to go, and presents to buy. That doesn't change. But we're going to be doing some things this year from that context, sweet context of Jesus, where the season isn't going to burn me out, but it is going to bless us and lift us up this year. So, preparing for Christmas. These are some different areas that as we just kind of revisit the Christmas story, we want to be reminded of areas that we can prepare our heart for Christmas. First of all, just remembering he is our Christmas Savior. This whole celebration is about something very central. He came to save us from our sins. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You notice he didn't say, "There is born to you this day in the city of David a baby." He didn't say that. He said, "There is born to you in this day in the city of David a Savior." You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. But he's born a Savior to you. We see the baby. We see the manger scene. We've got one out in front of our church here too. But when you're looking at the baby, you're seeing a Savior. He was born to us. I love how he makes that. First of all, he says, great, good tidings of great joy, which would be to all people, not just the select few, everybody. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Savior. So we remember that. He was born to us as a Savior. The Matthew account puts it this way. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Such an amazing truth. And when we look at that, he will save his people from their sins. You know, that was even kind of a foreign idea, concept to the Jewish people at the time. They were looking for a Savior who would save them from the oppression of Rome. That was kind of, there was a certain immediacy that they envisioned about their Messiah coming, who's going to deliver us from the oppression of this government. That was their initial concept of a Savior. He's going to come and save his people. He's going to save me. He's going to save you from our sins. In fact, Jesus said that once. He said, you know, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they said to him, we've never been anybody's slave. And Jesus said, when you sin, you're a slave to sin. And he sets us free from sin. Now, when you think of sin, there's a lot of different aspects of that. One of the ways he set us free from sin is he set us free from the eternal penalty of sin. You know, that's eternally separated from God. Man, I know I'm going to go to heaven when I die, not because I'm perfect, but because I've been forgiven. I've been made a brand new person in Christ. There's that sense of eternity. Ah, I have eternal life now because he saved me from my sins. He saved me from the eternal consequences of my sin. He also saves me from the present consequences of sin. You know, if I sin in the here and now, he makes a provision. What does it say? It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the world. When I think about preparing my heart for Christmas, I do want to remind myself that, okay, this is about my Savior who came, died for me, died for my sins. And praise God, even though I've received him as my Savior, even though he gave me the right to become a child of God, a new creation in Christ Jesus, I still miss it from time to time, right? The scripture doesn't advocate that we sin, but it just says, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Isn't that good to know? Have you ever had to bump into that advocate ministry before and come and receive forgiveness and cleansing? Now, it's important to make a distinction. When you're a child of God and you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, if you sin, if you miss it, it doesn't undo what God did in you. You're still a new creation. You're still a child of God. But it does have an impact on you. It affects your conscience. It affects your fellowship with God. That's the problem. It's not that I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell now. No, I'm out of fellowship with God, and there's something that I need. I need that fellowship restored. And that's when I just come clean before God and say, Father, I'm sorry, I said it, I did it, I'm struggling with this. I don't even know how in my own strength. I know I can't overcome this. I just need your help. I need your grace. All I know is I need you, but I just want to come clean with you. I want to be right with you. And I confess that this is sin. This is wrong. I'm not making excuses for it. I'm not trying to justify it. I just want to come clean. I receive your forgiveness and your cleansing from that sense of unrighteousness in my consciousness. Help me. God loves that. That's like, okay, good. Now we got somewhere to start. But there's just the sweet humbling ourselves and receiving that cleansing. And we, even when you pray that, it's like, I don't even know how I'm going to, you know, everything that's going to go on from here. I just know one thing. I've been honest with God, and I've received his forgiveness, and I've received his cleansing. That's all I know. But that's all you need, because it's from that place. It's that place that you get to walk in the Spirit again, that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Justifying the flesh doesn't do it. Making excuses, just getting clean. And that's part of what he saved us. So right now, I can walk in fellowship with him because his mercy and his grace is there to do it. I remember that at Christmas time, and I appreciate that. I think back in Christmas and think, man, where would I be without that ministry of the Lord? The reason why I'm here, the reason why you're still here is because he stayed with you. And I like to say that a lot. If I'm doing anything right at house, it's because there's a trail of the mercy and the grace of God that stuck with me until I overcame it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. That grace gives us the time and that we need to overcome things and to trust. And thank God for that. And I remember that's how he saves us from our sin also, right here and now. We can overcome things. I appreciate that. I also love how it goes on to say, though, not for our sin, not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is another beautiful way of having a Mary, M-A-R-Y, Christmas, as we center up on Jesus. And that is by remembering that he is the propitiation, forgiveness for the sins of the whole world. When we're looking out at people and throughout our day and throughout the season, we see people that know the Lord and love it and get it, and it's awesome. And there's people who don't, people who are jaded. But I'll tell you one thing. My pastor used to say this back in Eau Claire in the 80s. He would say, you'll never meet a man whose sins aren't paid for. You'll never meet that man whose sins aren't paid for. He's the propitiated sacrifice, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And there's something about that this time of year to remember that as we're looking at people, whether they've got a good disposition, bad disposition, it doesn't matter. We bump into all kinds of people. But to remember that, man, their sins are paid for. I remember a minister, well, he was one of our teachers. He was at one of these conferences, and he was like a main speaker, and he was in this, you know, really nice hotel, and he was going to get ready to preach, and he was all dressed up and got in the elevator and was going down to the conference floor. And he said he got in the elevator, and all of a sudden this guy, totally drunk, comes into the elevator with him. And he said he just immediately got all indignant and was frustrated, and because he just smelled so bad, and his thought was, oh, I hope his smell doesn't get on me and all this, and you know, just, oh, he's just being self-conscious and all that, and just being angry toward the man and critical. He said just the Spirit of God just spoke up in him in a moment in time. He said, son, the only difference between you and him is me. And it's a good time this time of year to be reminded of that. I don't care who it is that you're looking at or you're frustrated with or who doesn't get it. The only difference between you and that person is him. He's forgiven the sins of the whole world. The person, murder, stealing, all kinds, slander, gossip, adulterer, all that kind of, all of the things that you can imagine. The person going 15 miles an hour through Ephraim. They all have one thing in common. He's died for all their sins. And we need to remind ourselves of these things from time to time. Because, you know, as we're going out in, you know, just the Christmas season, and we come across people, we just remember, man, I'm nothing special. He died for the sins of the whole world. This is good news to all men. I got it. I unwrapped the gift, and I'm enjoying it, but that present is for everybody. It's so important to remember. For me as a believer, to receive cleansing when I need it, when I miss it, it's there. For the unbeliever, and to realize, man, I'm here to shine as a light, and the only difference between me and them is him. You know, if you were to take the Holy Spirit out of you right now, you can't believe how dumb you would be. There's a lot you know. And you think you know because you know. The reason why you know what you know is because you've got the Spirit in you bearing witness to truth. If you didn't have him, you'd sound a lot like people in the world. You'd be rationalizing a lot like people in the world. It's the Holy Spirit that bears witness to truth that lets you know there's authority in these words because he's the one who inspired them. Man, we can't forget that this time of year. Man, our heart needs to be outward toward the world, to love the world the way he loved the world and not have that critical. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Same reason. Jesus didn't send his church into the world to condemn the world. He sent the church into the world so that the world through the church might be saved. Right. To have that same outward heart. And sometimes there's a place in between. You're going to come across people that you know the Lord and just aren't walking with the Lord. You know? That's a good time to remember this time of year too. Remember me and a friend were doing some street witnessing Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he was kind of leading it. You know, I was kind of tagging in behind him because he really had the grace and just to hit the streets and tell people about Jesus. I was kind of like learning and just kind of watching and observing him and how he did it and just there to prayer support and back him up. It was one night. It was like a team of us. And me and him were in a pair, and he had to use the restroom, and so I was just kind of standing there on the street corner waiting for Steve to get back, and I just had all the little packets that he was handing out. He just left them with me, and all of a sudden, as I'm just kind of hanging out waiting for Steve, a lady drives up. It's dark, late at night. I mean, probably about, you know, 9 at night, and 9:10. It was, I just remember it was very dark and you could just see by the lights, and all of a sudden she rolled down her window and she said something and I couldn't quite hear. And so she said it a little bit louder. She said, "Do you have any drugs?" This is Hennepin Avenue, if you don't know much about Minneapolis or that area, but a lot of stuff happens in that part of town. And so I went over, and right about that time Steve had just come out. And I just went over and I just said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't have any drugs. You know, we're just out here, you know, just sharing." And Steve just said, "Hey, ma'am, would you pull over to there? I just want to tell you something real quick." Steve is so bold, you know. I would have never said that, but he just said, "Ma'am, just pull over there, right there." And I just want to talk to you real quick. So she was probably thinking, well, maybe they do have drugs. I don't know, you know. And so she pulled over and. It was kind of like in a little parking lot area from that intersection. And Steve just said, "You know, man, we're just out here just sharing the good news, just letting people know that God loves them and that he is with them." And immediately when he said that, she just broke down and started crying, just weeping. She says, I know the Lord. I know the Lord. And she said, I've got... a problem with drugs, and I've tried, but I just, and Steve was like, "It's okay." And for me, it was like, oh, because Steve is like trying to get people saved. For me, I'm more pastoral, so it's like, oh, great, Steve, I got this, you know. And so I'm like, "Hey, you know what? There's a throne of grace, and you can just come there, and you can receive forgiveness and cleansing." And I was able to just talk her to the throne of grace. And she said, "Really?" And just like, "But you don't understand, you know, it's just like I've tried." And I said, "But you know, God hasn't given up on you. He's still with you. Think about this. You were out here looking for drugs. And God sent us here to be here for you at this moment, at this time. Just like we were talking about this morning. His goodness is running after. It's running after me." Amen. That goodness of God chased her down and caught her. And she had nowhere to go. And she is right there at the throne of grace. And I'll tell you what, she prayed and she received forgiveness. And I just had her let her in a little prayer. And she received it. And there was just a joy and there was just a thanksgiving in her heart. I'm telling you what, When you think you've done something and you feel like you're unforgivable, and then you experience forgiveness, in that moment, you realize something. He loves me. This isn't about feeling better. This is about a truth that makes you free. Yeah. He loves me. You could see she got something that night. Man, I tried running. He just loves me. There's a certain surrender in that. He knows me. He knows I'm not perfect, but he's not giving up on me. He loves me. He's still for me. It's not that he was for me when I was living for him. He's still for me. She got it. He's a Christmas Savior. He saved us from our sins. And this time of year, I want to keep an open heart. I want to keep an open heart to the lost, to shine, to understand, to have a humility in my heart, not to be holier than thou or to have some condescending, but to realize the only difference, it's him keeping a right spirit to shine, that goodwill, and then also just to keep an open ear. Too. Lord, if there's something you want me to say, to encourage somebody, to let them know he's still your Savior, he's still for you. You know, this is a beautiful part of having a merry Christmas, a Jesus-focused-centered Christmas. Another one is Christmas peace. He is our peace. Praise God. And this is something we see throughout the Christmas story as well, too. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's pretty profound. You know, when I think of something that's increasing with no end, I think of the way many times even scientists will describe our universe. It's like it's just expanding bigger and bigger and going further and further. His government, the increase of his government. Do you know we're part of that government? This is far out to think about. We're called to rule and to reign with Christ in the exceeding ages to come. He's made us kings and priests to our God. You know, we're part of that expanding government. We don't even know everything. You know, Paul just kind of says in passing, don't you know that you'll be judging, that you will judge the angels? It's like, no, Paul, I didn't know that. There's some amazing things. The Bible says that the sufferings of this present age aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. I mean, there is an amazing thing that God saved us to. But of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. There's peace, and there's a peace that can continue to grow and to expand. In other words, you can have more peace next year at this time than you do this year. There's a peace that is growing and expanding. He is the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And then bringing it to the Christmas story, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's part of our Christmas story. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, a lot of times we think of peace, we think of the peace that we experience in Jesus, the peace that passes our understanding, the peace that we let rule in our hearts. And that is all part of our Christian experience, and we minister on it a lot. But this is another kind of peace, and a peace to remember. This is peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. His coming would produce a peace on earth. Let's see how that happens. This is Paul telling the Ephesian church. He says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision. even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in His own body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from Him, and peace to Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Paul is explaining here how Jesus brought peace on earth. You know, there's a lot of hostility. There's a lot of religious hostility that people can experience and feel. One religious group against another religious group. We're right, you're wrong. We represent God, you represent the enemy. And there is a wall of hostility that has existed thousands and thousands of years between Jew and Gentile. And Gentile is anything that's not Jewish. So you could fill in anything there. But what had happened here? Christ Himself brought peace. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. This is a miracle. The older I get, and the more I understand even some religious history and hostility and the stuff we see right now going on, I mean, even all the turmoil in the Middle East and the rhetoric and the anger, and you know, you hear the phrases from the river to the sea, different things like that. What is that? That's a wall of hostility. When somebody comes to Christ, that wall of hostility is brought down. Where people have not come to Christ yet, that wall of hostility is still up. You can look at the world and say, look at all this turmoil, look at all this hatred. You want to know something? There's a lot of peace on earth in this world right now. There's a lot of bad things that haven't happened because people who've come to Christ, and that wall of hostility has been brought down. You know what the answer is? It's the gospel of peace. It's the good news of peace. You know how we bring peace to earth? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Letting people know they are loved by God, that there is a God who loves them. The religious quarrels, the religious fighting, different things like that, it's all because of that. There's always this sense of religious superiority that creates an anger and a frustration. The answer is taken away in Jesus. It's amazing. This is why it is the gospel of peace. We had a testimony of a guy when we were at one of our prayer summit meetings a couple years ago. A guy named Muhammad, brought up Muslim, very strict Muslim, Christian-hating, Jew-hating Muslim. I mean, getting geared and reared in that army, that military mentality to come against Christians, that hatred. And somehow, and he just went through the story, of what they would have to go through, the self-punishment and abuse that they would put on themselves to try to take a sense of punishment for their sin and for the things that they did wrong and to degrade and to tear themselves down. And they would use these as kind of manipulation tactics for control. And to control their minds in a religious framework, all right? He kind of went through some of that process that they'd go through. But at the bottom line is they were raised in this hate, raised in it. And one of his friends, got saved. And this is very underground. But he just, you know, told him that there's more and told him that there's something else. And I believe he even slipped him some literature to read. And as he was going through this kind of very long, amazing, incredible, dynamic testimony story, cutting it short, I might actually have him in at Door of Life sometime and have him tell his full story because it's stunning. He ends up getting saved. He has to run away from home. He's ostracized from his family. You don't just get saved and, hey, mom and dad, I'm a Christian. You don't do that in those countries. And anyway, he survived all that. And God called him to the ministry. And it was, they were actually, he loves to win Muslims to Jesus. He knows how to talk their talk. He knows how to get in there and win them to the love of Christ. And it was one of these days, he said, we just had a group of people we had just saved, and we had them down to the river, and we were baptizing them, you know? And somebody said, as we were baptizing, they said, do you realize today is the 10-year anniversary of 9/11? And he said, what? He just said, because he said, on 9/11, I cheered those planes going to those buildings. I rejoiced. I was the dancing in the streets. That was me. Shooting the gun in the air. That was me on 9/11. And when somebody said, this is the 10-year anniversary, now I'm baptizing people. I said, I'm not that guy anymore. That's not me. Why? That wall of hostility was broken down in him. When you receive Christ, it's so much that way. When you don't have him, there's this religious battle of acceptance and rejecting, and you're rejecting and accepting. When you receive Christ, I don't care whether you accept me or reject me. I'm accepted in him. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I know he loves me. It's not that I don't care about you. It's just that I don't need your approval. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. That game is over. The religious one-upmanship, it's done anymore. It's done in Christ. That wall of hostility is down. I'm secure. I'm secure in something that's bigger than the next argument. I'm secure by a peace that I have with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. A peace of sins forgiven. A peace of fellowship with him. There's a peace, a Christmas peace that I have. And as I see that, and as you see the argument and the anger played out, and realizing, taking sides, the side that we've got to take ultimately, is the gospel. The Jew needs the gospel. The Gentile needs the gospel. They both need the gospel. They both need that wall of hostility broken down. In fact, the Bible says, you know, Paul said, I came to present the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. They both need the gospel. We all need it. He made, out of two people, he made one new person. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. You know, Muhammad, me and Muhammad are brothers in Christ. We came from two very different places, but he created in Christ one person, a new person. Peace on earth, goodwill. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There's a lot of things that Muhammad isn't doing that he would have done had he not come to Christ. We look at all the bad things that are happening, but you got to understand, there's a lot of bad things that aren't happening, and a lot of bad things that could happen in the future that won't happen because people are going to still come to Christ. There's a gospel of peace. Man, praying, Lord, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Jesus said, the fields are white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into that field. It's a great time of year to remember. Peace on earth, Lord. Make me part of that. Praying for peace, praying for salvation. When you're praying over Middle East stuff, man, pray for the gospel to go forth. Pray for people to get saved, Jew and Gentile. They both need Christ. They both need his love. They both need to discover his mercy. Praise God. So there's an element of peace on earth, goodwill toward man. And it's not just a happy thought. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives. and to let ourselves get stirred up in that and say, Lord, whatever that part is, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to stand and share the Romans road with somebody, but I'm going to shine. I'm going to show the love of God. I'm going to show, one of the things that says, that makes them want what we've got, what that is, that's that peace that I don't even have to feel the need to be right. There's just a peace that passed. I'm off that merry-go-round. I don't need it anymore. I got something in Jesus. And that's noticeable. That's detectable when you're in that religious fight war and all of a sudden somebody isn't in that. They just have a peace that comes from Jesus. A peace that doesn't require your approval. A peace that knows they're loved by God. Man, that's a beautiful thing to shine. And again, we listen on the inside. Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to share? You know, Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So sometimes you're going to throw the bait out there. You're going to let people just get a taste of what the goodness of God, see that he's good. I'll just kind of say this too. Sometimes when you think of Christianity, I would say the irony of Christianity, when you think of how a person gets saved, we believe that you're saved by grace through faith. But what did Jesus say? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In other words, salvation is exclusively through Jesus. Yet the thing of it is that it's available to whosoever will. It's exclusive through Jesus, but it's not an exclusive club. And I think that's the important thing that we've got to let people know. Whoever you are welcome. Come to the table. You don't have to be born a Jew. You don't have to be born into a Christian family. You don't have to have all this stuff around you. Whoever you are, Jesus is for you. He died for you. He was born for you. Reflect that. Make that part of our Christmas experience. Let people see that. This is for you. He died. Finally, Christmas presents. He's always with us. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the Lord, through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. And this is such a beautiful, again, as we're having a merry, M-A-R-Y, Christmas, to realize that he's always with us. When we take Christmas down this year, he's still with us. We are not celebrating just an event. We're celebrating a spiritual reality that he is always with us, no matter what. These two scriptures are almost like bookends. This is like when Jesus first came into the world, and just before Jesus left, he said this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He told that to his disciples just before he ascended into heaven. I am with you always. I'm Emmanuel, God with you. This is one of my favorite things this time of year as far as music I like to listen to is, you know, my parents listened to Perry Como Christmas growing up, but and a lot of good, that's what I was used to, and growing up it's good stuff there. But the one that I liked in our family tradition was the Stephen Curtis Chapman, The Music of Christmas. And this is one of the songs that came off his album. It says, one of us is crying as our hopes and dreams are led away in chains and we're left all alone. One of us is dying as our loved one is slowly lowered in the grave and we're left all alone. But for all of us who journey through the dark abyss of loneliness, there comes a great announcement. We are never alone. For the maker of each heart that breaks and the giver of each breath we take has come to earth and given hope its birth. And our God is with us, Emmanuel. He came to save us, Emmanuel, and we will never face life alone now that God has made himself known as Father and friend through with us through the end, Emmanuel. He spoke with the prophets' voices and showed himself in a cloud of fire, but no one had seen his face until one most holy revealed to us his perfect heart's desire and left his rightful place. And in one glorious moment, all eternity was shaken as God broke through the darkness that had kept us apart. And with love that conquers loneliness and hope that fills all emptiness, he came to earth to show our worth. And our God is with us, Emmanuel. He came to save us, Emmanuel. And we will never face life alone now that God has made himself known as Father and friend with us through the end, Emmanuel. So rejoice, Emmanuel has come. It is a beautiful reminder, the way the scripture describes, he is Emmanuel, God with us. No longer, I mean, you think about that. They'd go once a year. Once a year, they'd go. And they'd offer the temple, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies to have this encounter with God for the sins of the people. Now the Holy of Holies is on the inside of us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. No matter how far off you feel from God, or if you feel close or feel far, he is with you. Mary, M-A-R-Y, Christmas, God is with us. He is front and center. Whether we're sitting at his feet or not, in our heart, in our mind, in our attitude, he is with us. He is ready. He's available. You can just draw near to him anytime. Come boldly to that throne of grace. It's a beautiful reminder. And just finally, as the Hebrew writer says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? To just enjoy this Christmas with the sense, you know, that he is with us. He's with us from beginning to end. He is Emmanuel till the end of the age. There's a sense of his presence. Paul tells the Colossians, you know, this is the mystery hidden, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. And so preparing for Christmas, again, just making some heart adjustments, not just for the internal sense of how we're blessed by Christmas, but to have that outward reach too. You know, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And while people are still sinners, we need to love and be imitators of God and reflect that. You know, he saved me from my sin. I'm glad for it. But you know what? You'll never meet a person whose sins aren't paid for. You won't meet that person. The only difference between you and them is him. A great time to remind ourselves of that and to walk with humility toward all people and to show that love and that Christmas peace. What's going to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men, when all people come to that cross and receive their forgiveness and receive his love? And no matter where you come from, you have that commonality and you're part of that family of God. That's a beautiful thing about Christianity. It's not a clique. It's not a group. It's not one nation. You know, Jesus told Abraham, in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Not just the Jewish families. All the families of the earth will be blessed. The Bible says God preached the gospel to Abraham. All the families. We realize that. He is our peace. That's peace on earth, goodwill toward men. When he takes all of us and brings us together in Christ. And just to remember that, praise God. And then his Christmas presence. He's always with us. No matter what, no matter where we go. Yeah, we take time to remember that he came. But man, it keeps going for us. That presence, that special thing that the world even senses this time of year. It's like the world even has permission to be illogical and to hope and to have faith and childlike faith in movies. It's like they get this little gap of permission to do that through some movies and things. We get to live that way. We live that way. We live. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We trust in his word, things that we don't understand with our natural mind all the time. But he is always with us. So preparing our heart for Christmas. Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning that as we just come before your presence, we just make that decision, that purpose in our heart. We're going to enjoy this Christmas and just let that season be a part of us and let that season minister through us, I pray. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this Christmas season. You are my Savior, Jesus. You saved me from my sin. I'm going to live for eternity in heaven with you as a gift. Thank you. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me even when I miss it. You forgive me and clear my conscience so that I can live for you. Help me to remember people who don't know you just need you. They need your love. Help me to not be proud or to look down, but be compassionate, to show your love, to bring the gospel of peace, to let them know the religious quarrels are over. We're all sinners needing a Savior. Let that message shine through me this year. And I will remember, I'm secure in you. You live in me. Always. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I think one of the most beautiful pictures of Christmas is the picture we get in the book of Revelation, the very end of the Bible, when he says, people from every tribe, every tongue, every kindred, every nation are all around the throne saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and power. He is our peace. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning and just let it encourage you. Enjoy this Christmas. Have a merry Christmas this year. Amen.